Alex Spinell's in the studio with some breaking history news. He has updates. What, you have two stories?
I do. There's so much history going on, Dave, that I have to do two stories a week now. I'm running rag. I'm working like 80 hours a week to get this job done. You know.
I can imagine. Yeah. So you've got one about the fate of the historic gazebo at Clark Park in Everett, and the other one is the hostile hacking of the Facebook history group Seattle Vintage.
Yes, and we'll do them separately so it's not too confusing. Now, Dateline Everett, the Everett Historical Commission convened last night at Everett City Hall. You might remember they met last month to weigh a request from the Everett Parks Department to demolish the 1921 Clark Park gazebo, part of a plan to build an off-leash dog area and to get rid of the structure because they say it attracts crime. Now, Clark Park is in North Everett, not far from Everett High School, officially in the Bayside neighborhood. Some neighbors agree and they want to get rid of the gazebo because they say it does attract crime. Others think it's worth preserving as one of the most historic publicly owned buildings in Everett. And one commissioner said that particularly because the gazebo is owned by the city needs to set a better example in caring for and preserving it. Now, Bob Leonard is parks director in Everett. He made it clear why he wants to tear it down.
We're not looking to remove the gazebo because of the dog park or because of the condition it's in. The gazebo is looking to be removed because the gazebo is an issue unto itself. It is an attractive nuisance. It's not going to solve all the problems if it goes away, but it does create problems.
Now, at the last meeting, commissioners had asked for some specific information from the Parks Department about alternatives to demolition, but the parks didn't provide that info last night. What commissioners had been looking for was middle ground. Chair Patrick Hall said last month, essentially, you know, if tearing down the gazebo isn't a silver bullet, if it doesn't completely get rid of all the crime, build the dog park, keep the gazebo for now, and see if all that new activity means the crime goes away, and so then we don't have to tear it down. Seems perfectly reasonable to me. This is Parks Director Bob Leonard again making it clear how he feels about that compromise. We also hear a little bit from Patrick Hall in this cut.
Can I just speak to that?
Yeah, I don't think we need a motion on that.
Sure. I can say that I will check on that. One of the reasons we don't have that now is I just don't feel that we are supportive of that model happening. So I don't know that we want to present something that is not going to be supported by the city or the staff. So I'm just trying to be transparent about that.
So there's no interest on the city side in this compromise that the commission was proposing. Now, ultimately last night, a decision on the demolition request was postponed on a procedural question. The historical commission took a formal vote to ask the city attorney for an opinion. So tune in again in April for the third episode of As the Gazebo Turns. Now, in our next update, you might remember we reported 2 weeks ago that the popular local history Facebook group Seattle Vintage, which has more than 150,000 followers, had been hacked and taken over by malicious actors. I do now have some good news to share. Now, quick recap. By impersonating members of this Facebook group with what they call administrative privileges, the people who can, you know, approve a post and things, the hackers were able to take over and kick everyone out, all in preparation for some kind of nefarious activity, selling it to somebody or doing something weird, right? Now, the scary part of this is there's no remedy available, no way to report it to Facebook. The FBI couldn't do anything. Attorney General Bob Ferguson's office had nothing to say other than some form you could fill out. Now, Erin McAllister O'Malley is one of the Seattle Vintage administrators. She told me that one of the Seattle Vintage Facebook followers, just some local person who loves the old photos and the stories, this person got in touch with her and offered to track down a real live human being at Meta, you know, Facebook's parent company, that this person knew, to get that person personally involved, reverse the hacking, and regain control. And that's exactly what happened last Tuesday, but only for a few minutes.
Suddenly, one day, an email from Facebook saying, "We have given you control again." However, I had control for about 3 minutes, and I removed a post from somebody who was not supposed to be there, and I was instantly blocked. Apparently, admins can be hidden. They can hide themselves, which none of us knew about.
So it's just crazy. And Erin was pretty upset.
And she threw my phone in a dramatic way on the counter, and I said, "God." And then I sent the screenshot of it being unavailable to my little group there. And
These people are very passionate about history.
I didn't know historians swore.
Oh, man. Boy, do you ever listen to me talking to Sully over here during the commercial breaks? Okay, so fortunately, through some crazy moves that would be time-consuming to explain, Erin and a core team of administrators regained control again last Wednesday, kicked out all the hidden administrators. It was like when the Allies liberated Paris, you know, and there were Nazi snipers. It was kind of like that sort of scene. They kicked everybody out.
I didn't realize, if your Facebook page is hijacked, there is nobody at Facebook who will help you?
Well, if you have a friend you can reach out to, that's one of the big takeaways. Yeah. So we know that none of these problems existed 20 years ago. Like when I worked at Mohai, if people wanted to share stories, they had to come in person or mail me a photograph.
Exactly.
Now, we know that social media is responsible for, or at least complicit in, a lot of bad things, right? We hear about that every day. But as I've said before, I think local history, more than anything else, benefits in incredible ways from people of all walks of life being able to share their photos and vintage documents and memories with each other on a platform like Facebook. I don't think any other sector benefits from social media the way local history does. Kind of a crackpot theory I have, but I think it's true. Now, Erin McAllister O'Malley agrees, and she knows why it's true.
Because everybody's walking around with their own history. Everybody's walking around with their own pieces of the thread that tie us together in ways that we didn't imagine in the old days because it took longer to get those threads together. Social media allows those threads to be woven together in a platform. It's in your pocket. If you move to another country, you can have Seattle with you because all these other people have those pieces together in one spot.
So if Facebook wants to start sponsoring these spots, I think, I can't talk about that. Anyway, so the news you can use part of this is that it's got to be really careful about managing a page like Seattle Vintage because people impersonate members of the group and then ask to have their administrative privileges restored. Very complex, but also very common. The other big takeaway is what you mentioned a moment ago. Facebook needs to do something to make it easier for groups to get help when there's trouble like this. There's no way to report this. You can report the person's profile who's actually doing all the stealing, mm-hmm. but if their profile doesn't have anything bad on it, they're approved. They're vetted by Facebook and everything's okay. If this person hadn't stepped forward, there would have been no sustainable or scalable. There is no sustainable or scalable model to address this kind of issue for 150,000 customers of Facebook. It's crazy.
Yeah, I really don't get that. Facebook occupies like huge amounts of office space. There's got to be someone you can call if
there's unless you know somebody. There's not. That's the part that's just totally. And these actors who had hacked this thing. One of the people we talked to last week, Doug Palmer, a member of the group, he was able to track that they'd done this to a bunch of other pages. They stole all these other websites and domains, and they were sort of, it was a...
And to what end? Were they making money on it somehow? Or?
I think they steal a site, with 150,000 followers. Yeah. They run it for a while as kind of like a dummy or a clone or something, and then they sell it to somebody else who then starts putting ads on it. So if you're used to seeing pictures of, Frederick and Nelson Santa Claus, all of a sudden here's the thing for some, really comfortable shoes that I walked in and... It's like the equivalent of one expensive social media post
But that hurts the reputation of those sponsors then too, right?
No one cares about reputation anymore, Dave. It's just about selling stuff and doing stuff that doesn't require human intervention. And because Facebook, we need an actual human to respond to this, the moves that they did to pull this off were so complicated. It was when they landed the on the moon with all these different mission controllers, taking one particular step at the right time to steal this thing away or get it back and have the people not steal it again. It's a crazy, scary world out there on the internet.
Felix Spinell, all his features at MyNorthwest.com.